old Cyrus Barker was the richest man in town. And so when he became terminally ill, there was much speculation among the villagers concerning the extent of his wealth. And so when old Cyrus died, one of the town busybodies made it his business to run into the deceased lawyer and ask, "How much money did old Cyrus leave?" And the lawyer replied, "All of it, my friend, all of it." Now I know that as human beings, we all attach at least a certain amount of importance to our own personal earthly possessions. And there also are some people who attach the utmost importance to their money and possessions. But whether or not we have managed to put together a little bit or a lot, there's one thing that is certain. The time will come when we will leave all of it, my friends. All of it. But you see, the good news that we have received from our Lord Jesus Christ is that we people have all been created for life with God, beginning now. And we people are just like the branches of a vine, branches that continually need to be nourished by the main vine. That's what Jesus tells us. And he goes on to say that if we allow ourselves to become detached from this life-giving main vine, then as branches we will begin to wither up, and die. We cannot be who we have been created to be on our own power. We simply cannot. And yet, how hard we do try. Most often, it seems that we try to do it by assigning a number one priority in life to money and to the other thing that we call security. Now remember, there's nothing wrong intrinsically with money or with possessions. They are there to be used correctly. We all have the right use for them. We need them. But in today's gospel lesson, Jesus tells us once more that whenever we try to make money or possessions a number one priority in our life, then it seems that we begin to accept them no longer as a blessing, which they really are, but they become a kind of curse in the sense that then we shut out the Spirit of God from our life. Now, apart from God's Spirit dwelling within us, there simply is no possibility of our ever realizing our full human potential, the kind of person that God intended us to become. Apart from God, there's no possibility of becoming a fulfilled human person. And apart from the Spirit of God, there's no possibility of ever having what we seek most, real happiness, an honest-to-goodness peace, peace of soul. God and money cannot share that number one spot in our life. Those are the words of Jesus. No servant is ever able to serve two masters. You cannot serve God and mammon at the same time. A Los Angeles tennis pro tells the story of a young woman who came to him for lessons, and tennis was a completely new game to her. So during her first lesson, the tennis pro paired her up with another beginner, in a short match, simply to familiarize her, both of them, with a scoring method. Now, the woman won the first rally, which gave her 15 points to her opponent's zero. Now, since in tennis, the term for zero is love, the correct score then for the game was 15, love. And so the teacher asked her, as a way of teaching, what's the score now? And the young lady said 15, and stammered, unable to remember that the term for zero is love. But then the pro, being a good teacher, gave her a very broad hint and said, what makes the world go round? And without hesitation, the young lady replied, 15, money. Now, in your life situation, if it is money and not God that is making the world go round for you, then it is not the tennis pro, but it is Jesus today giving you a very broad hint of consequences that could become devastating. He's telling you that inevitably you will come to the end of your resources. Inevitably you will come to the point in your life where you will be scoring zero in the game of life. That inevitably there will come a time in life when you will simply find yourself unable to cope, as we say, unable to handle those fears deep down, those anxieties, unable to affirm your worthwhileness, which gives meaning to life, unable to sustain and to abide with that hope that we all need for the eventual ultimate fulfillment that we look forward to as a human person. Now, Jesus again and again does assure us that the Spirit of the living God does dwell within us people of faith, and that this Spirit is a continual spring of water that wells up to eternal life, but we already have it now. This life-giving spring of water. Now, when we become sensitized to this mystery, when it becomes real to us, when God becomes real to us, then we begin to respond with what spiritual writers so often call nowadays, the inward journey. The inward journey is when we discover the necessity in life for prayer and meditation and our regular weekly worship experience in which we are invited to touch the transcendent. It is through this inward journey that we gradually learn how to seek to deepen our growing relationship with the living God. But then against this background of this ongoing Christian experience, there also does emerge a problem, which happens to be the danger of prayer. As we continually immerse ourselves more and more deeply in the inward journey, we discover that sometimes God does not come as close to us as we would wish, that the presence of God isn't as real as we feel it should be. And we come to the point, perhaps, where our worship experience, too, rather than touch the transcendent, becomes cold and lifeless. We continue then to grow through what we would call the motions of praying, but there seems to be nothing there. And we ask, how could this be so? Now that is the question that is raised so many times in all the writings of the Old Testament prophets. not only Amos that we heard today, but Isaiah and the other prophets, and they all agree in one very deceptively simple but marvelous answer. And that answer they give us is vital to our relationship with our living God. What these prophets all agree upon is that this ongoing inward journey of ours, which is daily prayer and meditation, trying to live in God's presence, and then our weekly worship, all of this is absolutely essential. But then they say more is required. That we need then, at a certain point, also to make an ongoing outward journey as well. Without this outward journey, our prayer life and worship experiences become lifeless, meaningless. It's not a matter of spirituality over against ministry. Rather, the prophets of old tell us that our mission to this world and our concern for other persons are always a part of our spirituality. That is a lesson that Thomas Burton discovered as a contemplative in Gethsemane. He became so deeply involved in the affairs of the world by his writings because he had come to a certain point in prayer life when he realized that there are always two dimensions: the inward journey and the outward journey. The prophets tell us that God is a special friend to the poor, as Amos did today in the first reading, and that God's people will be friends of the poor. We are God's people, and we are to be friends of the poor, the disenfranchised, and that's what Isaiah said in the powerful passage when he says, "This is the kind of worship that the Lord wants, to loosen the chains of injustice, to share your food with the hungry, to set free anyone oppressed in any way, to provide shelter for those who wander, to clothe those who are naked," and he says with assurance, "then when you call out to the Lord in prayer, the Lord will always answer you." And so today Jesus counsels us to use our money and earthly possessions to win friends, which might sound a little strange. It sounds as if Jesus were telling you to become a social climber, until we realize the implication of what he says, that Jesus is really referring to his own special kind of friends. People who are poor in any way, not just physically. People who are sick, handicapped, hungry in spirit, as well as in body, lonely in spirit, oppressed in any way, and the outcasts of today's society. And those outcasts are taking more and more forms right before us today. Remember that when Jesus decided to begin his public ministry, his outward journey, before he began his outward journey, he first went out into the wilderness for a 40-day retreat. That was the inward journey he needed before he began his public ministry. And it was there in that wilderness experience that he was asked to make a choice between serving the living God or mammon. And we know what happened, that when he came out of the wilderness, he translated the choice that he had made into the kind of life that he had decided to live. We people today are being invited also to make a choice. If we do decide to become the servants of the living God, it is simply not just a title that we have chosen to bear, to be God's people, to be Christians. It is a kind of life style that we have chosen to live. And if we choose to follow the Lord, who is the living God, then we will have life in abundance, life of the Spirit, because this is the God who has created us, whose resurrection power, is at work within us now.